After all that Ahab had done, because Ahab humbled himself before God, God relented. Well, God is a graceful and merciful God. And if you are willing to humble yourself, God will relent. If you are willing to come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to come in and cleanse me from all my sins. I want to be your servant. I want to follow you all my days. You know what? God will relent of the death judgment that he has on you and give you eternal life with him forever because he's full of grace.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark delivered his sermon titled, Be Humble, and he preached from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And now, Brother Mark.
Turn in your Bible, if you will, to James chapter 6. James chapter 4, I'm sorry. That's a good catch. I was just checking. Been entitled this message, Be Humble. And I've already been humbled this morning. Amen. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you don't have. You murder and covet that you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Let's pray. Father God, as your Spirit moves among us, may we see the importance of being humble people. Lord, as we bow before you and put our focus on you, you will lift us up. Lord, we pray that your Spirit move in our hearts this morning, that we might be drawn to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Well, nobody's born humble, right? We all have a sinful nature. That leads to selfish pride. And in fact, if you don't believe that, just come down to the nursery tonight and watch the children play. You know, from a very young age, they learn to take each other's toys. They learn to do what they want. And if they don't get their way, they have a temper tantrum, not unlike adult Baptists. But we know that humbleness is the key to successful relationships, right? If you want to have a successful relationship, you have to put whoever you're wanting that relationship with ahead of your wants and desires. You have to sacrifice what you want in order that they might have what they need. So you and I, we are commanded by God's Word to be humble. 1 Peter 5, 5-7 says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he might exalt you." You see, if you humble yourself before God, God will exalt you. God will lift you up. And if God lifts you up, and if God exalts you, you have every right to brag on God and who God is. And it's not anything that we have done. When we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. But we must be very careful in returning the blessing to God, because it is God who lifted us up and not we ourselves. And sometimes we tend to want to try to take credit for what happened when actually it was God that did it. And so as believers, it's very important that we always acknowledge that it was God. Everything that happens, happens for a purpose, right? God has a plan. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't know all His ways, but we know this: God's way is the best way. And when God lifts us up and exalts us, it is so that He will get all the glory. That's why He lifts us up. Being humble is vital to our church culture and our church existence. If the church was a machine, it would be lubricated by humbleness. If your spiritual body was a machine, it would be lubricated by humbleness. It would be powered by gasoline. The Holy Spirit is the gas. But the lubrication of the machine, the well-oiled machine, is humbleness. Being humble is vital to the church. It's vital in all your relationships. It's vital to reaching people for the Lord. So we must be a humble people. And God is able to lift up those who are willing to be humble. The only reason that you and I stand at all is because God is holding us up. I want to tell you a story about a king in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 21 named Ahab. Ahab had a wife named Jezebel. Neither one of them were godly people. In fact, they were terrible. And in fact, Ahab's dad was an ungodly king. And therefore, Ahab was just following in his footsteps. And they did nothing to honor God. Well, Ahab was king over Samaria after the two countries split. And he was an evil king, and he was full of pride. And there was this garden by a town called Jezreel, next to the palace that Ahab lived in. And Ahab liked the garden, and the garden belonged to Naboth. So Ahab went to Naboth, and he says, "I'll give you twice as much as your garden's worth, or I'll give you land that's twice as big as this land if you'll just give me your garden." Well, Naboth said, "No, I'm supposed to keep this garden. God told me that this was my inheritance. It was my father's garden, and I don't want to sell it. I don't want to trade it. I want to keep it." So Ahab went home with a sour face, and he laid down and he pouted. And he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't sleep, and he wouldn't get along with anybody. And Jezebel noticed he was a little irritable. So Jezebel asked him what was wrong. So he told Jezebel all about Naboth's garden. So Jezebel devised a scheme to get the garden for Ahab. And so she hired some false witnesses to testify against Naboth. And they brought him up into the courtyard. And the false witnesses said that he is blasphemed against God, and he is blasphemed against the king, and therefore he should be stoned. And the two witnesses testified falsely against him, and they stoned him to death, and the dogs licked his blood. Well, God was not happy with the actions of Jezebel and Ahab. So, God sent Elijah. Remember Elijah? Elijah was the one just before that had run from Jezebel because they had the showdown up on the mountain and he killed all the prophets of Baal. Well, so Elijah has to go and speak to Ahab. And God said, Ahab's a bully, and so he sent Elijah the Tishbite. How would you like that name? I'm Elijah the Tishbite. Well, he sent Elijah the Tishbite to Ahab, and he said, "You murdered and took Naboth's garden." So in the same place where the dogs licked Naboth's blood, the dogs are going to lick your blood. "And behold, I will cause calamity to come upon you and your family. I will take away your prosperity. I will cut off every male descendant of yours. And Jezebel, the dogs will eat her by the wall of Jezreel." And they did. "And the dogs shall eat whatever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and whatever dies in the field, the birds will eat." Well, Ahab wasn't too happy with that judgment coming down. And so he had remorse, believe it or not. Now, Ahab, imagine Ahab and Jezebel, and Ahab having remorse, this ungodly king having remorse over what happened. So when Ahab heard from Elijah what God was going to do, he tore his clothes. That was what you did in that day if you was upset. You ripped your clothes. People don't do that. They might rip their buttons open, like that. You would tear your clothes, and then you would put on sackcloth. Well, sackcloth was like burlap, and it was really itchy. So if you put on sackcloth, that means you was miserable. Because you had to sit in the sackcloth, and it made you itch. So they would put on the sackcloth, and sometimes they would sit down in ashes. He didn't actually sit down in ashes, or the Bible didn't say that he did. But he did fast and mourn. So he tore his clothes, he put on the sackcloth, he fasted, and he mourned over his actions. Now listen to this. God saw Ahab's remorse, and he said to Elijah, "See how he humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself, I will spare him the judgment." God relented. Can you imagine that? After all that Ahab had done, because Ahab humbled himself before God, God relented. Well, God is a graceful and merciful God that we serve. And if you are willing to humble yourself, God will relent. If you are willing to come to God and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to come in and cleanse me from all my sins. I want to be your servant. I want to follow you all my days." You know what? God will relent of the death judgment that he has on you and give you eternal life with him forever because he's full of grace. When facing God's judgment, even old wicked Ahab humbled himself. The first point is, being humble always replaces pride. Humbleness and pride are opposites, and they cannot exist together. A proud person is not humble, and a humble person is not proud. You see, pride is self-centeredness. Ahab was self-centered. He wanted Naboth's vineyard and garden, even though God said that Naboth should keep his inheritance, and Naboth had every desire to do so. Ahab selfishly pouted when he didn't get his way. He let Jezebel kill Naboth so that he could get his vineyard, and he went and took possession of the vineyard after all that took place. Ahab only thought of himself. He never considered anybody else's feelings. He didn't care anything about Naboth. He was a selfish bully, and he never considered God's will. Psalms 10:4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." God is not in his thoughts at all. You see, when we're not humble, our pride blocks the thoughts that we should have that God wants us to have. It blocks the Spirit from moving in us and leading us in the right direction. Because a proud person is wrapped up in their own self-worth, they're not worried about what God can do in their lives. And pride manifests itself by praising ourselves, adorning ourselves, giving ourselves accolades, attempting to appear superior to everybody else around us. We display pride when we draw attention to ourselves after scoring a goal or doing something in the church or whatever we do. We try to draw attention to ourselves because of what we have done and not give God the credit. So the consequence of pride is God's judgment, God's resistance. God resists the pride, but he gives grace to the humble, right? So when we display pride, we are asking God to resist us, to come against us. We need to humble ourselves so that God is for us and lifts us up. God tolerated Ahab's wickedness for years, but this was the last straw. This prideful disregard for Naboth and the laws of God was the last straw. So God said, Ahab, you're going to die, and the dogs are going to lick your blood right where they licked Naboth's blood. And Jezebel, the dogs are going to eat you by the wall. Well, God hates pride, and the consequence of pride is God's resistance. James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble." In Proverbs 11:2, it says, "When pride comes, then shame comes. But the lowly have great wisdom." Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he cannot be unpunished." Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a great fall." And Daniel 4:37 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase." You see, whether you believe in God or not, God is able to take you down if you're full of pride, just like he did Ahab. And as believers, as children of God, God is especially concerned with us when we have pride. But where humbleness exists, it always replaces pride. Humbleness always changes the heart, is the second point. Humility is a change in heart, and humbleness always begins in the heart. A humble person gets off the throne of his heart and he lets God be on the throne of his heart. Though we have no record of Ahab's verbal confession, his actions reveal a change in his heart. Why would he even be concerned about God's judgment if he didn't believe that God was real, that God could take him down, So Ahab must have thought there was a God and believed in God, or he wouldn't have worried about the judgment that Elijah pronounced from God, right? Well, he had a change of heart and he had remorse. And we have no record of his verbal confession, but we do see his actions that reflect a change in his heart. So humbleness produces a change in actions. We see he tore his clothes, he put on the sackcloth, he fasted. He went softly and tenderly around. That means he went barefooted, he guarded his words and his actions, and he was very sullen and quiet for days, hoping that God did not follow through with the judgment. Humbleness is not taking any credit for any good that we have or any good that we have done. It's not overrating anything that we have done. It's not taking pride in ourselves. It's not admitting or being honest that we have many, or it is admitting and being honest that we have many imperfections and sins. And it's glorifying God for everything that we have and everything that He has done for us. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise glory in his wisdom, neither let a mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in their riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and he knows God, and that the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for these things I delight, saith the Lord." God wants all the glory. God wants all the credit. God wants all the accolades for everything that you and I have, for everything that you and I do, for everything that we are. God gets the glory. That is humbleness. And the third point is this: humbleness always pleases God. Ahab was a wicked king, reared by a wicked father, Omri. He married a wicked wife who was a Baal worshiper, Jezebel. And she stirred up wickedness everywhere she went. He did not change after the big fight on the mountain when Elijah destroyed all the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And as far as we can tell, he was wicked to the very end. But in this instance, he had remorse, and God honored his humbleness. Those who truly humble themselves before God can expect God to pay attention, because God loves humbleness. In the story of the Pharisee in Luke 18, who was praying in the temple, Jesus said, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you," Jesus said, "this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself will be exalted." James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift you up." Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." In conclusion, Ahab never humbled himself until he was threatened by God. That's a really good time to get humble, isn't it? We ought to humble ourselves before God has to threaten us, right? Being humble is having a right view of God's sovereignty and seeing ourselves as God sees us. It's giving God all the glory and all the praise for every ability that He's allowed us to have. Being humble is important, but it's also misunderstood many times. Being humble is not low self-esteem. Being humble is not having a poor view of yourself. Being humble isn't lack of self-worth. Being humble is when we stop thinking and stop focusing on ourselves and we begin to focus on God, who God is, and all God's power, and His grace, and His mercy. If pride is me focusing on myself and raising myself up, then humbleness is me focusing on God and allowing Him to raise me up. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, is thinking of yourself less. C.S. Lewis. The benefit of our humbleness is God's blessing. If you want God's blessing, then you just humble yourself. And you give God all the glory, and He will bless you. If you are humble, it will not only give you better relationships with your friends, your family, your spouse, and it also give you a better relationship with God. Philippians 2:3 says, "Be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself." Pride shows up in relationships in the form of criticism and competition, stubbornness and arrogance. Proverbs 16:18 says it leads to destruction, and a proud attitude brings ruin to a relationship. First pride, then crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. First you wax the car and the wheels, and then you hit the tree. We always said in our workplace, never wax the car or they'll come take it from you. That was true most of the time whenever you clean stuff up. You see, humbleness is the anti-venom to pride. And humility builds relationships, but pride tears them down. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Everyone must live in harmony, be sympathetic, and love one another. Have compassion and be humble." How are you and I doing with our humility? Humbleness happens by letting Jesus control our thoughts, our hearts, our attitudes, our reactions. He's got to be the biggest part of all of this and the reason we humble ourselves. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 says, "Let the Spirit change the way you think and make you into a new person." How do you become a new person? You think in a different way. You see things differently. The basic law of relationship is this: you are who you hang with. You are who you hang with. If you spend time with grumpy people, you're probably going to be grumpy. If you spend time with happy people, you're probably going to be happy. If you want to be humble, then you need to spend time with the one who is the most humble of all, and that's Jesus Christ. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you, and He wants you to spend time with Him in prayer. He wants you to spend time with His people, and He wants you to be humble and love others as He has loved you. Be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. And you must have the same attitude as Jesus Christ had. Though He was God, He did not think of Himself as equal with God, as something to cling to, it says in Philippians 2:3. No one has done anything more humble than Jesus Christ did. Came to earth as a man, God with us. And then He lived a perfect life among us. And then He died for every person that would ever be born, that they may have a way to be free of their sins, so that they could come into the presence of God and talk with God, and that they may be a child of God forever. And that all takes place when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Now, that's not hard to do, but it takes a humble heart. You have to get rid of all your pride and say, Lord, I am not able to do anything with this sin that I have. And I want You to come in and forgive me and cleanse me of all my sin in my heart and make me right with God. Give me a right relationship with God and take me to heaven someday. And you do so by praying and asking Jesus to come into your heart and do that very thing. If you've never done that, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. And it's a decision that lasts forever. You'll have eternal life with God in heaven and Jesus forever and ever. If you fail to make that decision, if your pride gets in the way and you reject Jesus and all that He's done for you, you will spend eternity in death and hell, separated from God forever. And the choice is yours. This morning you can make that decision to humble yourself before God, and He will lift you up. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, this morning, if someone has heard Your word, believed the truth, and is willing to humble themselves, and they pray this simple prayer after me, You will save them. You say, Jesus, I believe that You're God's Son. I believe that You died for me. And I have sin in my heart. I want You to come and live inside of me and cleanse me of all of my sin and make me pure and white as snow. I want You to make me one of Your children. I want to make You Lord of my life. Forgive me for all that I've done. Make me Your child and take me to heaven someday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that simple prayer, Jesus, just come into your heart. The Holy Spirit now lives in you, and you are a child of the King. And God will lift you up. As a believer, many times we let pride get in our life again. And God wants us just to get rid of the pride and to humble ourselves before Him and give Him all the credit. Just focus on God and love one another and let our humbleness build the relationships around us, that God may be manifest in our lives, that people will see Jesus in us. However the Holy Spirit's been working this morning, every person that Jesus called, He called them publicly. And Jesus said, if you confess Me before people, I will confess you before the Father, which is in heaven. And so He calls all of us to come forward before people and to verbally say what He is doing in our heart. If He saved you, you need to confess Him publicly, and you need to come forward to this altar and say, I just asked Jesus in my heart, and He come in and He saved me. And when you do that very thing, Jesus pronounces your name in heaven and the angels rejoice. Whatever God is doing this morning, I pray that you'll let Him have His way in your heart, that you will follow through with whatever He calls you to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be singing page 290.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe You died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in Your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.